Welcome to Advances Podcast Series, part of the APS Publications channel. Hi, I'm Jamie Jones, and I'm the producer of this series. In this series, the authors address four key talking points provided by Editor-in-Chief Dr. Barb Goodman. Whether you are at home or on the road, I hope you enjoy it.
Hello, everyone. My name is Aniket Nadkarni. I'm an intensive care specialist working in a large metropolitan hospital in Australia. I'm a clinician and educator, and I'm interested in how experiential forms of learning can help learners build mastery within a discipline. Today, I have with me fellow intensive care specialist Rahul Costapinto, who also works in a large metropolitan hospital in Australia. Rahul's area of interest is interactive and flipped classroom modalities of learning. G'day, Rahul.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for the introduction, Aniket.
No worries, Rahul. So together, Rahul and I are co-authors on a manuscript recently published in Advances in Physiology Education, investigating the impact of inquiry-based learning in intensive care medicine. We hope we can shed some light on this innovative learning style, how educators can leverage some of its benefits and navigate its pitfalls.
For educators interested in trialing novel interactive learning formats, this podcast might give you some insights to help you implement an inquiry-based learning program and understand its impacts on your learners.
So to give you a taste of what you'll find if you read the full article, let's jump straight into it. Rahul, can you tell us, what is inquiry-based learning?
Thanks, Aniket. So inquiry-based learning, or IBL for short, is a constructivist learning style. The basis for this framework is that learners construct their own understanding of a concept based on their experiences of the world around them. This learning format positions students similarly to scientists, in that they will independently direct their learning through experimentation, formulate hypotheses, and test these hypotheses by gathering data, usually in the form of new knowledge, skills, or experience. Now, the potential benefits of this format of learning are that it grows a learner's knowledge and experience while concurrently teaching them the skill of self-directed learning. And this is vital as clinicians in our pursuit of lifelong learning and delivering the best care we can for our patients.
Rahul, I think your latter point in particular is really important, especially in intensive care medicine, where traditional didactic methods of teaching still dominate how we continue to receive our education. Intensive care medicine is a vast field with broad multidisciplinary knowledge base required for your day-to-day practice. And this environment often exposes knowledge gaps for clinicians, with even the most experienced and knowledgeable clinicians. So the ability to identify a gap in knowledge and translate that into a learning goal and then pursue it independently and effectively to formulate an approach to your practice, this is an invaluable skill. Improving this skill forms a big part of the transition towards mastery in the field. And I think it's one of the key advantages that makes IBL so attractive and promising.
Yeah, absolutely, Aniket. I think innovative learning formats that prompt clinicians of all experience levels to pursue self-directed learning is a challenging gap that IBL may help fill. Educators looking to tackle this issue may want to consider an IBL approach, and that all starts with a good question or series of questions. So we modeled our IBL program on frameworks previously described in the literature, which describe learning through phases of the inquiry cycle. The cycle begins with orientation, then conceptualization, and then moves on to investigation, conclusion, and discussion. In our IBL program, our learners were oriented through emails introducing the learning format. This orientation also contained 4 to 5 IBL questions, outlining key areas in one core topic of intensive care medicine practice, such as acute renal failure or mechanical ventilation. Once problems were conceptualized through these questions, learners could investigate, And we encourage them to do this through experiential pathways, such as discussing a patient with a colleague, examining a piece of monitoring, or seeking a perspective from another clinician. The IBL sessions, moderated by skilled facilitators, would explore their answers to the IBL questions through discussion.
Now, Rahul, we delivered this program to intensive care medicine clinicians across Australia and New Zealand and brought them together on a virtual platform. But this learning framework has been delivered in face-to-face formats as well.
Yeah, that's correct. So there are currently numerous intensive care units in Melbourne that are currently delivering an IBL curriculum through in-person small group tutorials, and there are benefits to both approaches. The IBL curriculum that we developed had a series of questions split across 10 core intensive care medicine topics, but this curriculum could easily be broadened or modified to other disciplines in medicine, nursing, and allied health streams as well. And I think it would also be feasible for an IBL curriculum to be developed for varying experience levels, including undergraduate studies compared to vocational and specialist training pathways. So I guess, Aniket, you've had experience of using IBL for many years for intensive care specialists in training. What do you find challenging about it?
Yeah, so Rahul, I think there are a number of challenges that it's important for educators to be aware of so that they can plan their education program accordingly. One of the things that we found through our study was that learners didn't appear to engage in the investigation phase of the inquiry cycle as readily as the others. Essentially, they were coming along to IBL sessions and engaging in the discussion around the questions, but it was apparent that they may not have necessarily gone off and done the work in their own time. So encouraging self-directed learning would be one of the really key challenges of progressing an IBL curriculum. I think making sure that learners do engage readily when they do attend a session is yet another challenge. We had to conduct our program over a virtual platform, but there'd be numerous hurdles, whether you were delivering the program virtually or in person, to encourage a social learning environment. Finally, I think one of the challenges would be the nature of the questions that educators chose to use for an IBL curriculum. We were fortunate in that the College of Intensive Care Medicine in Australia has a well-structured fellowship syllabus that we were able to model our questions off. Educators would need to use a similar structure if they were applying an IBL curriculum in other disciplines within medicine or other paramedical health streams. So I think it's important for educators to understand those potential pitfalls. Navigating them would likely involve exploring the social determinants of interactive learning in your own environment, ensuring the questions were appropriately designed and pitched for your particular learners, and determining the barriers that learners have to investigating questions independently.
Yeah, and I think in saying that, what we did learn through our IBL program was that learners were satisfied with the learning format and found it to be superior to a didactic teaching style. You know, they engaged strongly with all phases of the inquiry cycle, with to a less extent with the investigation phase of learning, as you've mentioned. And our qualitative analysis found that learners valued active learning, clear objectives, a safe environment, application of theoretical knowledge, learning from the experience and reflection of other clinicians, and that IBL helped reframe their understanding of concepts.
Well, overall, it seems like the learning format has some promising qualities that make it attractive for intensive care medicine specialist training. And a lot of the advantages appear to be readily applicable to other streams as well. So Rahul, where do you think we go from here with IBL? What does the future look like?
Well, I think the future is bright, Aniket. I think I'm excited about the potential for IBL, and not just in the intensive care unit, but beyond that. I think IBL has a potential role to play in many postgraduate medical settings. I think postgraduate medical learners need to embrace self-directed learning, and this style of learning that IBL encourages is really suitable for experiential learning. So asking questions which makes these postgraduate learners question their practice on a day-to-day basis in a clinical setting. I think importantly, we need to research this this novel teaching method more conclusively. And I think really good qualitative research is required to understand, for example, in our study, why clinicians didn't quite engage with that investigative phase. So I think really good qualitative research, not just quantitative research, is required. And not just in how we're delivering these programs, whether it be in an online format that we have or a face-to-face format in intensive care units, but beyond that as well, and seeing whether our findings, which are encouraging, are grossly applicable across postgraduate medical settings.
Yeah, absolutely, Rahul. I think you raised some great points for future areas of research within the IBL format. And the future does look bright indeed. I'm really excited about what the IBL learning format can continue to do in intensive care medicine and beyond. Rahul, thank you very much for joining me today to discuss how we explored the IBL learning format in our study. For educators wanting to find out more about our findings, they can access the full article in Advances in Physiology Education. And there's a lot more to find out there. Thank you very much for joining us today, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.
Thanks, Aniket. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening. This podcast was brought to you by Advances in Physiology Education. If you would like to hear our latest episodes, please visit our publications homepage at www.journals.physiology.org.